Three, two, one. Welcome back to the 1% Man podcast. Got my good friend here with me, Jake Kent from Influencer Press. Jake, how you doing today?
You know what, man? Better now that I'm here with you. I know that we're going to have an incredible conversation that hopefully provides a lot of value for people. So I'm ready to get into it, man. Let's get into the thick of things.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. So before we actually begin, I have three questions for you. So that way, myself and the viewers can get to know you better. Well, the listeners, excuse me, and the viewers too, as well. So, question number one, if you could speak to your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give and why?
I could speak to my 13, excuse me, my 18-year-old self. You know, I think that I would probably tell myself that less about what other people think and listen more to that voice that's inside of you. Spent a lot of time in my 20s looking, if I'm being fully honest, looking for validation from other people about what the best way is to live. And I think it's kind of interesting, right? Like we all know this deep in our soul, but it's hard to jump off of that ledge for the first time. And that's that every single person around us is like, there's no such thing as grown-ups. There's only growing ups. There's only people that are trying to figure it out around us. And often people only want to see us stay safe, but they don't actually know how to get where they want, let alone where we want. So we're actually playing kind of a game with broken rules and a broken system by listening to other people or seeking other people's approval when most of the time, 99.9% of the people out there don't even know. So I would tell myself, trust myself. Don't look to other people. You got this.
That, I mean, I felt all that. All that you just said, I felt that in my core, because I think even about myself, sometimes I try to tell people how to live, and then but then I turn around and I'm like, what am I doing with this? And I'm like, just like just a complete hypocrite, complete hypocrite. So yeah, I have nothing more to add to that. I think that was just beautifully said, like really. So question number two, if you had to be an expert in another field besides PR and communicating effectively, what would it be and why?
Like based off of other things that I'm good at or things that I want to be good at.
Man, I guess for you, it would be a choice. Like, what would you like if you could pick anything to be an expert in? Like, Jake is known as like this is the thing. Like, you are the guy for this. Like, number one.
To be honest with you, it's super cheesy, but if I could be known for one thing, which this is exactly where I'm moving into, you know, my life, right? Because, you know, PR is a tool. We'll get into that. And it actually doesn't really do that much unless it's applied to specific mechanisms. So, you know, really at the end of the day, you know, my life's purpose, my mission, the thing that I spend way too much time reading and thinking about instead of sleeping is really how to help people change their behavior, change their lives. Because a lot of us, right? Like you even heard like in the first answer, a lot of us are walking around with dreams and desires and gifts. And a lot of us don't necessarily know how to get there. And if we do know, we're actually afraid. And that fear often is the thing, like you're gonna love this, but the fear is the thing that actually prevents us from getting it. You know, people will say it took me 10 years to get that thing done, when in reality, and this is the craziest part, we all know this, that it didn't take 10 years to get the thing done. It took 10 years to make the decision that led to the outcome. And, you know, how often are the people around us walking around hoping and dreaming, yet on their deathbed, they're filled with regret? And if I could eliminate all that regret and help people move forward, take the action that they want in their life, accomplish that which they wish to accomplish, man, I think that's a good way to live and a good way to die.
I love that you said it's a good way to live and die, and that it didn't take 10 years for it, but it took 10 years to make the decision that ultimately got to where you that ultimately helped you get to where you want to go. I mean, yeah, that I like yet again, I think that's like super profound, Man, if I wish we didn't, I wish we were on a time crunch because I want to sit there and just like let that, you know what I mean? Just like let that
Yeah.
resonate. Yeah, I really do like that. Yeah, that's wow.
It's
I
powerful
like,
stuff, man.
yeah. Yeah,
It's
super
powerful
powerful
stuff, you know,
stuff.
because like,
Yeah.
a lot of us, and you know, we can get into all the PR stuff if we ever do want to go down that track. But you know, man, a lot of us are going through life, right? And we're playing like life is kind of a game, right? In this weird way, right? Like to think that this game or this life does not have like rules that are malleable, that are bendable, but rules is I don't want to say it's silly, but you know, like all the smartest people and the people that have gotten where they want to go is like they really are kind of like following like a game walkthrough. It's like, you know, if you want to cross the frozen lake, what do? You actually follow in the footsteps of somebody that's done it before. You probably don't just cross the frozen lake and say, like, I hope I'm gonna make it. And in reality, man, like the crazy thing is a lot of us are just kind of like, you know, shotgun style, like attempting to get what we want, and then we get burned. And then we think it's not possible. When in reality, it's not that it wasn't possible. We just weren't following in the footsteps of somebody or something that's done it before, right? Like everybody knows the story about Robert Bannister, right? Like the 4-minute mile. Impossible. People, like doctors said that your heart would explode if you tried to run a 4-minute mile, that it would never be done by a human until one man and one day. And under 4 minutes ran a mile. And the interesting thing about that, like the craziest part is not that it happened. It's that within the next year, many, many people did the same thing. And the reason why is only this one thing. And it's because people believed that it was possible. And if we believe that it's possible, and if we follow in the footsteps of others that have done it, man, like what can't we do? What can't we do?
Man, I think belief, yeah, exactly what you just said, like belief. It's like they believe that someone else did it, so they believe that they could do it for themselves, and that's what caused the result that they wanted. Yeah.
100%. Because you know, if you actually take a look at it, man, you know, there's this really cool model out there that looks at essentially like how do you make things happen inside of your life? And the funny thing, and you know, you'll love it because this is actually like we kind of talked a little bit before about this, about how like PR generally, like people think it's not a thing because it doesn't usually work. But the reason it doesn't usually work is because people don't actually understand how to use it. And
Yeah.
people also, right, like they don't necessarily, like when we really start to deconstruct how to change things inside of our life. It's the same exact way as how do we actually get customers, right? Like it's so funny how kind of simple this stuff is. Like once we actually start just kind of understanding how to change reality, right? And if we start taking a look at it, it's funny because you know, beliefs dictate absolutely everything in our life. Absolutely everything. There is not a thing that isn't affected by our beliefs, right? Like there's reality, but we project a release like a lens on top of absolutely everything, right? So from our beliefs, that is what we use to construct what we believe is possible. And from what we believe is possible, we start to create strategies of how we might make our belief a reality. Now, from that strategy, we dictate our action. And from those actions that we take, we get results, which either reinforce the belief that we had. They always reinforce the belief that we had because that's the fundamental thing that changes the outcomes, because results stem from beliefs. And that's a cyclical, you know, a pattern right there that we all go through. So if we change beliefs, whether it's in our own life, in our prospects, we change the entire outcome. Like nothing could be more important than changing the operating system that is currently overriding everything inside of our life. Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is super crazy. Yeah. And that's even something that I'm diving deep into right now, to understanding like how to change operating system, like really how to reboot, right? Because at the end of the day, sometimes you you do change operating system, but then you go back to like the old operating system. But how do you like download that new one and then like have it latch on for the long term, not just like a short period of time? You know what I'm saying?
100%. Yeah, man. And that's a really fascinating thing to take a look at is like, well, why do we maybe take on beliefs, but then they actually leave? And a lot of it, is what's interesting is you can actually, this has been scientifically researched. It's out there when it comes to behavior change, when it comes to what drives action and above beliefs. Well, so let's actually start from the bottom of the table because it's actually really interesting. And this is kind of called like the identity ascension matter. Forgot the words. This is called the identity ascension. Basically, okay, I forgot what it's called. We're gonna have to cut this out. What's interesting about this is there's this concept of identity ascension, which has been scientifically researched, and it says that when we're taking a look at how do people actually take action inside of their life or change their behavior or move forward with something, at the lowest level, there's always environment. People will say, oh, I can't do that because of the weather. I, can do this today because my wife said that it's okay. Like external factors, right? At the lowest level is external factors. What's interesting is what supersedes that, and everything past this will supersede the thing below it, is after that, what starts to happen is people start to look at not their environment, but their behaviors. And they'll say, well, I don't usually go to the gym, or I actually don't really count calories, right? So they'll make excuses based off of their behavior. Up above that is actually their capabilities. If you speak to someone's capabilities, including your own, you start getting into, well, I don't know if I'm capable of that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know how to do that, which people can still use as an excuse. But we start getting into beliefs, which come after that. I believe in this thing, which means that my environment, my behavior, my capabilities don't matter because I believe in a different reality. It will literally trump all of this. But what trumps beliefs, even though beliefs underpin it, is actually identity. And this is the fascinating thing right here, is that when somebody locks themselves into an identity, you can use this, and like for anybody out there listening, this is universally applicable in relationships, in PR, in sales, in marketing, in customer service. I've literally worked with a company, and overnight after implementing this stuff, we had a 69% reduction in the refunds because we spoke to people's identity and we changed it. But identity will destroy everything underneath it. Because, right, like what happens? This is a simple example, but what happens if you or I wake up in the morning, we're tired, didn't sleep well? Well, if we don't have an identity, or we're just like, yeah, somebody just kind of going through the motions in life, well, I might hit the snooze alarm, right? I might just kind of stay in bed. But what if somebody is training to be a boxer, right? Like a world champion boxer, but they didn't sleep well the night before. That alarm goes off 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. What do they do? They say, I don't care. I'm getting up because I am a champion. See that identity, that label that we give ourselves trumps absolutely everything. And that itself is absolutely key to changing behavior, is helping people understand their identity and having ourselves understand our identity. Because if we change the identity, we change everything that's below that, right? Like people, and we included, cannot use our environment as an excuse. We can't use our behavior. We can't use our capabilities. It trumps all of that. Like that's so fascinating. Like that the research says this, and it's so true. Like, have you ever seen that in your life where in a tough moment you said, it doesn't matter because I am a blank?
I think about moments like that. A lot of times. And there's times where it's even held me back too. I remember coming back from basic training the first time, and I used to get up at like 4 or 3 in the morning, and I was just like, man, I'm an American soldier. I have to get up. You know? And then
100%.
as,
What do you think that basic training is really designed to do? Is it about the skills, or is it about whitewashing, not, excuse me, not whitewashing, but completely washing away your identity of the past and making you a U.S. soldier, like a blank, right? You come out of basic training. And it's, yes, you have skills. Maybe you know how to fire a gun. Maybe, you know, you're in better shape. But that basic training is designed to give you a new identity, a shared identity, right? Which is another principle of persuasion. But you have this shared identity with other people around you that hold you accountable. You hold each other accountable. There's a certain way of doing and being, a certain standard of excellence, a certain standard of how you walk through the day. Those are the same principles. It's exactly the same. And there's a reason why the government uses this. Like, the government doesn't use it just because it's fun, right? They don't use it just because it's like a good time. They use it because it's effective, right? That's why if we actually utilize the same thing that the government is using, we start getting a lot different results, not only in our life, but in our business, in our relationship. Start speaking to people's identities, including our own. We start changing outcomes, which is like super fascinating to me.
Yeah. I mean, this conversation right now, I'm already like, I'm locked in. I'm listening to every word you're saying. I'm like, man, I wish I had like a notepad so I could take notes. And I can't wait to like just listen to this again and just be like, okay, wow, okay. I think one thing I want to do is like, I really want to bring you in our community and have you do a special training on identity. And I think that would be super helpful, because I think even looking at myself, I'm like, I know moments where I speak, I have excuses. I'm like, well, I'm Black, that's not for me. Or, and a lot of times it's like, if I could shift that and be like, no, this is for me, right? Or instead of saying like, I'm Black, that's not for me, it's like, no, that is for me because I'm Black, right? And I think a lot of times even 100%. Black men, we say that a lot of times, right? If you looked at a lot of things that's been going on, especially like, you know, a lot of cultural, or even just how society's going, right? A lot of times people will be like, well, I'm a woman, so I feel this way because of that, right? Or I'm trans, or I'm gay, or whatever it is, right? Like, we use what we are, our identity, to stop us from doing something, instead of saying that, no, motherfucker, like, this is who I am, but this is gonna help me, but because I'm this, this is why I can go do this, right?
100%.
And that's something I even put on my podcast. It's like, because I'm Black, there's certain conversations I can have. And instead of saying, oh, I can't do that, it's like, no, I can have this conversation because of that, you know? So
100%, man. Oh, well, I'm glad that you really get that, because like, a lot of people don't. And you know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, a lot of us are walking around, and it's not our fault, right? Like, it's just like we're kind of embedded with programming from, you know, our parents, from, we could say maybe genetics potentially, but you know, a lot of the environment around us, and you know, maybe we don't have the agency or the ability to act when we're young and we're kind of embedded with this stuff. But part of truly, you know, being that 1% man is about taking like radical accountability over every single facet of our lives. And when we're taking 100% accountability over everything in our lives, that means our mind. Because, you know, here's the fascinating thing. And man, you know, I've been very blessed to, you know, to not only, you know, consult and work with some very large companies, but also some very world-class people in terms of not only, you know, their wealth, but also their status. And what's really interesting is, as you start getting to really, really high performers, they start understanding that it's not about a specific tactic, and it's not about even skills. Like, a lot of it is actually about the energy and the lens through what you see the world. Because, you know, this is a little bit more woo-woo, but, you know, let's go there.
No, give it to us.
But what's really interesting, man, is like, you know, the reason that identity is really powerful is because identity changes what our reticular activating system is actually looking for, what our perception is looking for in the world. Because you and I could walk down the street, right? And let's actually go there, because you talked about it, you know, like, you as a Black man can have conversations. So I as a white man and you as a Black man can walk down the same exact street, right? Like, I'm in South Africa right now, right there. This is a hotbed of this kind of like white and Black, you know, thing with apartheid in the past, yes. Right? You're in my experience. So we could believe different things about the situation that's in front of us and have a completely different understanding about the world, the situation, and also how people interact with us because of what we're projecting with our perception. But what's interesting is that both of us could actually say, hey, based off of our identity, based off of who we are, this environment actually favors me. I am blessed. I am perfectly aligned for what it is that I'm trying to accomplish and where I am. You being white, me being black, and guess what? 100 out of 100 times, the effect is positive. It is positive because people, and you know, I mean, I truly believe this. I'm not trying to push this on anybody else, but the universe always responds in kind to our energy, right? Like what we bring into the day. Have you ever had a bad day that started bad, but then it kept going bad? It's because we were tuned into that versus like when you feel like you're on a hot streak, right? Like, you know, championship athletes, world-class athletes, right? The difference between them and somebody that's on a hot streak is they know how to create the hot streak and stay there. They know how to actually manage their perception and manage their state. And somebody that just gets on a hot streak, right? Whether it's a, like a, you know, salesperson, like a closer that's just hot for the moment, but then they get off track, or like a business person that's hot and then they get off track. And somebody that's world-class is their ability to maintain that perception and maintain that state and maintain their identity. And by doing that, they actually change reality itself. It's crazy. It's phenomenal. But if you start looking at this, you start analyzing every sport, every business person, you will see how dedicated they are to making sure that they are always in alignment and taking care of their state. It's super fan. It's just like crazy when you start seeing this stuff. Like you get it's like seeing through the matrix. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I love what you said about hot streaks and how like top like world performers. I remember like being in college, right? I played Division III football, but I remember like when I wanted to go to the league and I was like around other NFL guys and training with them. They had this, you know, people would say arrogance, right? Oh man, this arrogance about them, but it's like no, they just knew that they were good, right? They knew they were like, nope, this ball in the air, it's mine. I'm going up. I'm going to go get it, right? I've been around, like, guys that played in the NBA, and when you play with them, they're like, they have this, some people say cool confidence, right? If you're an athlete, you know they have this cool confidence about them, right? They could be down 20 or 30, whatever it is. They just know, okay, cool, it's time. They know how to, like, turn it on, and it's like they take over the game, right? People talk about that. But even in life, there's some business owners that they're just like, it like they could be $100,000 in debt, but they're like, nope, don't worry. It's gonna start changing around right here. This is what we need to do. Boom, boom, boom. And it's like, and they go to sleep with ease. They wake up with ease and they go through their routines with ease. As other people, when they're just first starting out, they're stressing. They're like, oh my God, how's this gonna happen? How's that gonna happen? It's like, dude, you're way too frantic. Like, relax, it's all gonna work out. Don't worry about it. Yeah, and in the 1% man, we call that building momentum. Right? Like, how do you build that momentum in your life so that way everything is just hitting? No matter what you're doing, everything is just like firing. Boom, 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 boom. So, yeah, I mean, yet again, Jake, like, my God, man, the way you're breaking this stuff down, to me, it's like I can see it. I can see like remnants of it in my life. You know what I mean? I can see the stories even I told myself about this stuff, which is like amazing. I hope the listeners too are like getting, like, I mean, you literally did a whole masterclass on identity, energy, you know what I mean? And changing and understanding to speaking to people's identity, you know, not the excuses, right? But really getting down to the core of it. It's like identity. That's a whole, like, yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, it's really interesting. you know, I was talking with a company, you know, that brought me in, and, you know, they pay about, you know, $1,000 an hour for consulting on this kind of stuff. But the reason that they do that, right, is because it's actually a steal, right? Like, because they're making so much more money off of the stuff that's being taught because of how much it actually impacts their business, right? Like, they may pay $1,000 an hour for this kind of stuff, but we're talking about it dramatically and drastically affecting not only their sales processes, but, well, you can use it in just about every single part of business, because business is a human to human activity. It's a human to human sport. And the name of the game, man, like, this is so key for every single person listening to this. I wish that I got this 10 years earlier. Like, I wish someone slapped me across the face so that way I didn't spend way too much money and way too much time not knowing it and dealing with all of the stupid, you know, side effects of that. But, you know, here's the interesting thing, right? Is like, Identity underpins absolutely every single action that we take, and it's the same exact thing inside of business. And underneath identity, right, there is always, I'm going to speak in the context right now, but you could take this into pretty much any other sphere of life. But in business, there is three different things that somebody has to have certainty about in order for them to move forward with you in business. And you could translate this to relationships as well. And like, if you get this, it can literally, like, this itself can take your business from $100,000 a year to $1 million a year. Literally, I've seen it happen. And it's understanding that first, yes, people need to have certainty of three things, which is number one, they need to have certainty in you or the business. Number two, they need to have certainty in the product or service that you're offering. And then third, and this is the one that people forget, people need to have certainty in themselves, because most deals are lost because people are not actually certain about themselves. 90% of the population, there's this thing called the buying pocket, which is really like people have to be in the right state and they have to have the right amount of belief in order to move forward. If someone is, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to figure absolute like everything out. Like they're just machismo all the time. They think that there's no side effects of not figuring it out. They're super duper confident. They'll never buy. But most people, that's only like maybe 5 to 10% of the population. Most people fall below in the level of the amount of belief and certainty and trust that they have in themselves. And most of us are walking around like that, and it's affecting every single vein of our life, where we actually are undermining our own progress because we don't have enough belief and faith and trust in ourselves and certainty in ourselves. So what's interesting about that is both the elements of certainty when it comes to us slash the business, the product and service, and also themselves as the prospect, is that what we've seen, and this is not our research, this is the scientifically validated research, like the verdict is out on this kind of stuff, that each of those three aspects of certainty, there needs to be three core buying beliefs that underpin it. Three beliefs about themselves, three beliefs about the business, and three beliefs about the product or service that actually moves people forward. And when they have these beliefs, that is when change happens, because that is when they feel like they can launch forward into newness, into change, into a new reality. Because if one of those is missing, it undermines the whole thing. So the key thing to get from this is that inside of our life, we should be asking, like, what am I uncertain in? Or if we're in business, like, where is the lack of certainty coming from in our prospects that's holding them back from moving forward? And if we actually use inverse thinking is something that Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett talk about a lot, which is instead of thinking about what you want to happen, you actually think, well, what would I not want to happen in the future? And then you actually create guardrails around every last one of those things. So that way it's just like, you know, playing bowling, but you have the bumper cars up, or like the bumpers on the side. So that way, like, no matter what happens, you got bing, 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 I got a strike. Yeah. We start creating those guardrails and success becomes inevitable. Mm. And that's a super cool thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. That is super cool. That is 100% super cool. And I think that actually goes into the final question I had, which was, what is one value you hold dear that you believe all men should adopt to make the world a better place for everyone? I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I still want you to answer it. I still want to like hear your thoughts on it. And I think the listeners too, you know.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think I'm going to say to that question?
I think if they understand identity, like, you know, how to speak to the identity and shift it, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I believe you would say. But, you know, what would you say?
Sorry, the question. The question was it about what do I value? Like, what is my value?
Yeah. What is one value you hold dear that you believe all men should adopt to make the world a better place for everyone?
All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And I trust that your community is filled with good men. And, we live in an interesting time when it comes to being a man and what that means. I think that there's actually a lot of pain. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of not actually being clear on what our role as men are inside of this world right now in this time. And the antithesis to that is it's not about being better than women or anybody else, but as men, we have specific roles that we are placed here for, ways to serve. And being a good man means stepping up, and it means taking not only agency, the ability to act inside of your life, but the morals, the ethics, the discipline, commitment, and congruency to being a good man. It is your purpose, and it is your privilege to serve the world in that way, because not everybody is. And there are other forces that are hurt, that are in pain, that do want to inflict hurt and pain on other people, or simply choose to be selfish. And I don't know about everybody else, but I choose to believe that there's a lot of good in this world. And as good men, we need to step up, and we need to change the world for the better.
Yeah, spot on agree with you 100%. Like, yeah, I totally I'm on the latter end of like I do believe that the world is a great place. There's a lot of good men in this world. Yeah, and when good men step up, like evil cannot prevail. Like, yeah, I'm 100% with that, 100%. So, yeah, I want to keep talking about what we're talking about. But I know I want to touch on this PR, just because I know that's what I brought you in for. But man, yeah, I just want to put a dot on what we're talking about, switch to PR real quick, and then like go back to that because or even bring you back on to talk about that because I think this like the identity piece, a lot of people say like, it's woo-woo and all that, but when you truly understand it, it's life changing and it's legacy changing, right? It's where it's things that it's really things you can pass on, that I mean, you too as well. You talk to world class people, but I've talked to wealthy people and I've sat down with them. And a lot of times it's never about the money that we talk about. It's always about like how do you view yourself, self-esteem, self-confidence, like how do you function, And they have this very bravado of I don't want to say it's not bravado. They have a very strong, high opinion about themselves and what they expect out of life, right? Like they expect to be rich, they expect to be wealthy, they expect to close deals, they expect good things to happen to them, right? No matter, everyone else may think they're a shitty person or whatever it is. I remember reading Dan Kennedy's facts to Diamond members. He says, and he's talking about Andrew Carnegie. And Carnegie, people can say he was an evil dude or whatever you may want. But Carnegie held himself in such a high regard that like he expected to be successful. He expected to be wealthy. It wasn't like he might or might not. No, he had a belief that like, yes, like money's supposed to come to me. It's it, like I'm supposed to have money. It's this like what else am I supposed to, you know what I mean? Like he wanted it and he also said, no, this is supposed to be for me. And I think a lot of people, if they were to look at that and to adopt that mindset of like, hey, this like all these good things are supposed to happen to me because there's a fuck ton of good people, right? That have this like, no, I want to be humble. I don't want too much and all that. And I'm like, yo, that's bullshit. Take it all because naturally you're a good person. So when you have an abundance of resources, you're gonna do an abundance of good, right? Like give a good man money. What he's gonna do? He's gonna build good things. You know what I mean? You let bad men go wild. What are they gonna do? They're gonna do more bad things, right? They have more resources to do bad things, But if you do give good men resources, what do they do? They do more good things in the world, So I like that's why like what you're saying, it hits me so hard. I'm just like, yes,
100%, man. Yeah. I mean, when you take a look at money, when you take a look at, power, status, like all of these things, none of them are evil or good. They have no inherent qualities. What they are
Yeah, bro.
amplifiers. Like money itself is actually just a compressed packet of energy that was expended somewhere along the chain, right? Like whether it was what we did to earn that money, what someone else did to, you know, what we exchanged our money for, whether it's coffee beans, right? Like some work was done, energy was expended. So money is just representative of energy, right? It's a compressed packet of energy. And to those that are wealthy, to those that have power, to those that have status, it's an extension of whatever it is that they are internally, because they're going to do something with that. They're going to do more work with it. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? Right. And that's why it's so important to have the right identities. That is why it's so important to have the right values, no matter what you're doing, right? Like when we actually talk with someone about what we do with PR, which we don't just do PR, we actually do applied PR, which is actually every single thing that we've been talking about on this podcast is actually what we get to do as a business, because the first piece that we do is actually really just about building authority, credibility. But even more so, we call it pre-influence. Pre-influence means that actually getting people pre-sold, pre-influenced on whatever it is that you do, how you serve people, and that they're the right person for it. So that way it completely exterminates anybody else as an option, because you are in a category of one. When you're in a category of one, everybody else is not even competition. They're not even in the same sea. It's really powerful stuff. And, you know, when we're clear on that, it's really interesting what starts to happen. You know, we start to embed this stuff into somebody's business, into their sales pipeline. Yes, we do some PR, we apply it, we do all the pre-influence work, all the influence, persuasion, behavioral economics work. We embed this stuff into their sales processes. By the time that somebody gets on a call, it's not, oh, what do you do? It's not like, you know, all of this, like, you know, I'm putting on my salesperson outfit, you're putting on your customer outfit. But instead it's like, listen, you know, like, how does this work? Like, how do we work together? That's a way more fun conversation, right? And that's kind of like the cool thing about what I get to do every single day is I get to live this every single day for companies, for people that are changing the world, and for myself. These are the conversations I get to have, which is super empowering, man. It's like incredible to watch people change. And as they start to adopt this type of communication in their business, but also in their life, it's not just money that's being made. It's not that we're getting businesses to seven figures. It's that people are coming to us and they're saying, you know, like, this saved my marriage. Like, this actually got my partner and I back together. Isn't that powerful? Right? Like, come on. I don't know. Am I the only one with chills? Maybe.
No, I'm here with you. I'm here with you, man. Like, yeah. Oh, that, I think, you know, this on your website, you describe influencer press as building an ecosystem of action that goes beyond traditional PR services, right? And I think the whole quote of it, actually, because you know what, it was so good, I'm just gonna read it, because it's like it fell under who we are, right? On your website, which to me it was like, oh man, I still have it highlighted, right? It's like, we are not marketing where we celebrate because we get you leads that don't convert. We aren't a sales agency that focuses on putting pressure on sales/closers to do all the work to close the deal. We aren't PR agents that just get you press. We build an ecosystem of action that gets customers to buy from you before the sales conversation ever happens. Like, that is exactly what you just explained to me. And I wish people would understand how powerful that is, right? Like, as I remember being a personal trainer, and I had to explain to people why they had to work with me, right? Because everyone's a personal trainer nowadays, right? Everyone's a fitness model. Everyone can work out. Everyone has abs and all that, right? But when you, like, the reason why I wrote my best-selling book was because I wanted to be different, right? Now, when I accept a conversation, it's like, hey, I actually wrote the book on how to lose 15 pounds in 15 days, you know? Now the conversation is like, oh shit, how did you do that? What's the mechanism? How can I work with you? Right? That's like that authority, like, okay, cool. You know, like writing the book. And then, hey, I was featured on Forbes or wherever, or Black Enterprise or wherever I was featured, right? That helped me. But now it's like, it's not like, should I work with you? It's like, how can I work with you? Right? Can I even afford to work with you? Right? That in the prospect's mind, how it shifts. And is that what you're explaining, or am I right,
Yeah,
or am I
man. I
wrong?
mean, yeah. And I mean, like you kind of said, man, it's really interesting because, you know, people will kind of do these things, whether it's write a book or they'll get featured or they're this or that, but they're kind of just like these trophies. And yeah, like it might be like, oh yeah, well that's interesting. Like, oh, you were on Forbes, or oh, you wrote a book. And don't get me wrong, like that's cool, right? Like that's a level above what most people are doing. Kind of the new way though is fully integrated approach, right? Which is that all of these things are not kind of, you know, shotgun blast out, like, yeah, I got the book, I got the Forbes thing. But instead, all of these pieces, man, are singing in harmony. It's kind of like imagine going to an orchestra, right? Like a symphony is extremely moving, but people don't go and they're not brought to tears by simply a violinist. They're brought to tears. They're moved to feel, they're moved to action when it's the entire symphony singing in harmony. And that's what we need to be curating before somebody is ready to buy. There's beliefs, there's identities, there's things that they need to see, do, and believe before they're ready to take action. You know, so you know, we can embed a lot of the research on influence, a lot of the research on identity, and actually how we get people to move forward, regardless of what the external environment says. And also use persuasion, which social authority is an extremely powerful mechanism for persuasion. So it's got its place. We start to embed all of this stuff and create really the, you know, people talk about customer experience, like once somebody's already a customer, what about before? Like, isn't that interesting? We don't talk about that before. How do we craft the experience walking in that builds the buyer? Because that's what we do. We build a buyer, TM. But we're working on taking somebody from being a lead and building them into a buyer instead of saying, oh, yeah, that person wasn't a buyer. Oh, that person wasn't qualified. It's like, no, we can actually build a buyer. And that's super cool.
Can you elaborate on that more? Because I think that is super powerful, right? Because we do understand customer experience, right? Like a customer comes into the business, now they're a customer. All right, what's that journey like? But the customer experience before they become a, so initially they're just a stranger, then they're a lead, right? How does a business like my own, right? Like I have a men's journal company, a men's coaching company. How do I pre-frame a man, like before they even come into my business, right? How do I pre-frame the customer experience? So that way you just have an example to use, you know what I mean? And also selfishly, I mean, it's my company, so it's like it helps me out, right?
No, this is really good stuff, man. And you know, I'll teach you a couple ways. I mean, we can talk about the theory and we can talk about the actual tactical because they're both valuable. And you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, some of the organizations that I work with, we get brought into. You know, well, you know, we actually have seen one business go from $2 million a year to the next year, you know, 21 to the next year, $99 million in a year. And really all of this stuff started happening when we were working together, which is super cool. You know, because it was just like, wow, just the testament to the power of like the research. Like it's not even us. We just know how to basically kind of like, you know, the sword exists. We just know how to like wield it, which is fun. But so, you know, when we take a look at this, you know, we need to know ultimately, right? Like we can go back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. Like first, what is the identity that they need to have? And then even more so, how do we put somebody in a resourceful state and their most resourceful state? If we start taking a look at people, we can view them in one or two ways. One, we can actually look at them as somebody that's broken that we need to fix in order to get them to buy, right? Like we need to confront the thing that's going on inside of them. So that way, like we smash the objection to bits and they move forward. But it's actually, let me ask you, if you actually beat the crap mentally into a prospect, like you beat them down, does that put them in a more or less resourceful state?
Less resourceful.
Less resourceful. So why is it that most salespeople, most closers are taught to actually trap somebody into a corner and make them feel weak or like they're broken? Like, isn't that interesting? When in reality, what if we actually help people tap into their most resourceful state? Because here's the thing, people are not broken. They have parts of them, right? We can call parts integration, even internal family systems. you know, these are things from therapy, which like what's the avenue? If you want to go change behavior, like who do you go see? If you want to actually change your mind, change your psychology, who do you go see?
Therapist or behavioral health person.
Yeah, like a psychologist, right? Or a therapist,
yeah.
Right? And if you take a look at this kind of stuff, what it'll show you, right? This is the research out is out on this stuff, is that like people have these different parts inside of them, right? And if they're meeting resistance, like if they want this thing, but they're not able to move forward, what that means is that somebody is actually not integrated. They're not fully integrated. There is like an operating system or some part of them that is overriding them getting what they want. So what we need to do is help them tap into their most resourceful state, not just on a sales conversation, but even before. We need to be building the identity and the beliefs and the behaviors to help them tap into their most aligned, most resourceful state, right? Like, you know, you, like, has there ever been a time in your life where you're like, I have no idea how I'm going to make this thing happen, but because it was important, because it was prescient, because it mattered, you found a way. Have you ever had a time like that in your life?
Yeah. Yep.
Tell me about it.
Man, when I first signed up for ClientKit with Peyton Welch, I got on the phone with him and it didn't matter what he was going to say. He was like, I got to qualify you and all that. I was like, no, I'm going to buy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I knew I was going to buy. And I had this certainty of belief that like, I needed to be in ClientKit, like the a program like Taylor Welch and all of them made. Like I just had this certain belief that if I got into this program, my life was gonna change completely. And I even like it was so crazy because I read that book. Right here. I keep it really.
Yeah, let me ask
like,
you know, so with that right there.
Yeah.
Like did it help you? Did what you learned there help you?
Yeah. Oh hell yeah. It did.
Did it kind of change things in your life? Like maybe the direction you went?
Completely.
So what's interesting is, you know, we could deconstruct this, but either they helped you be in a certain state, have certain beliefs, or have certain identities that wanted you to move forward, or alternatively, if you have an internal locus of control and you have this ability, which I mean is incredible because not everybody has it, to motivate yourself and put yourself in the state where you're like, I'm 100% in, I don't care, hell or high water, right? And maybe that's part of like, you know, some of the army training, you know, because like there is kind of that like flip, right? That switch. But it was that made you move forward, even if you didn't have all the money to do it at the moment, right? You found a way. I don't care, I'm putting it on a credit card. I don't care, I'm getting a loan. I don't care because this is so important and I know I can change my life. That part exists in every last one of us. The question is, can we bring it out of somebody? Because people are not broken. We don't need to smash them to pieces. We don't need to fix them. What we do need to do is dredge the best part of them out to the surface and highlight that information, right? If we go back a little bit earlier to the reticular activating system, which means, right, like if you buy a red Toyota, you know, Corolla, what car are you going to start seeing everywhere?
Red Toyota Corolla,
right? You're gonna be like, God damn, everybody has the same car that I got. Right? It's because you're looking for the information that's highlighted in your brain as relevant. And we can do the same thing with pulling out the most resourceful piece of a person, because there are disempowering parts. But what if we actually reached into a person and said, I see that resourcefulness, I see that part of you. Let's highlight that to the surface and let's actually give the underlying beliefs and identities that support that resourcefulness. So that way you can do this. We're not telling them they're broken. We're actually empowering them that they have always had this power inside. And that is one of the most beautiful things in the world, because that is like inception and it changes people. It changes people beyond even getting a close, even beyond getting commission, beyond getting profit, beyond getting revenue inside of your business. It can literally change somebody's life because they are tapping into a resourceful state. Like you've even seen in your own, right? Like, you know, there's this example of a company that I work with. And, you know, we were at Funnel Hacking Live and, you know, he came to us about like 2 or 3 years ago and really didn't have the money. You know, he even told the story. He's like, you know, when I saw you guys back then, when I came through the program, you know, my wife and I had to go to the bank together because he's in France and that's how you have to pull out money. They had to pull out money out of their kids' college fund. And his wife smacked the pen on the desk and like looked at, you know, this guy, like, this better work. Like you better not be messing up right now. But you know, so they went through the program, and it was the last thing that they had, right? Like it was all or nothing. And what was interesting is this guy was at Funnel Hacking Live, you know, an event where people like are celebrated for, you know, having a lot of success in business, you know, $1 million years, $10 million years, $100 million years. And this guy behind him was multiple people wearing the same shirt he was. He said, you know, 3 years ago, I almost didn't pull the trigger. But that decision led to this. 3 years later, I have a full team around me. You know, we're collecting our, you know, multi-million dollar ClickFunnels award. And back then, we didn't have anything. And now we have not only gotten to this point, but we have the power and the ammo to go to the next level. That decision changed his life. You know, like it's so powerful that we literally wield a superpower when we start understanding states, identity, beliefs, and we start embedding it into our business. We have the ability to change somebody's life forever. And that's a very, very powerful thing. And we have to wield it responsibly and ethically.
Yeah, I mean that, man, that moves me like to emotions because, I mean, to think that, you know, to I can just feel him just going to his wife, you know, asking her and telling her this is what I want to do. I know we have to pull it out, but like trust, believe me, I got this. You know, as the head of the household, like making that decision and her begrudgingly still coming and still going with you. You know what I mean? Saying like it's better work, and then you have that ounce moment of like, oh, this better, oh hell yeah, this better work, right? And then going back, wiring the money or sending the money, whatever it is, and then, you know,
Yeah, it's a tense moment for sure, but that's what it means to be a 1% man. That is being a 1% man. It's making 1% decisions. That sounds sexy until you actually live it and you know that it's not always the easiest thing until you own that. Guess what? That identity. When you say, I'm a 1% man, this is what I do. This is what I was born for. If I was less of a man, then perhaps I wouldn't move forward. But because I am a 1% man, this is in my blood. This is in my DNA.
At the time of making that decision with Peyton and Taylor, like that decision of like it was 99, it was like almost 10K, $9,800, right? Put it on a credit card. But reading out that card and then like seeing the charge, like you know, once you get charged, it like the little notification drops down, been approved for, you know, and I'm looking at that, I'm like, okay, like this is it, you know what I mean? And then before I get off the phone, Peyton says like, your life will never be the same after this, and I promise you, like I guess that confidence that he had, you know, in me, and that confidence I had back in their program, like just kind of like cemented everything, and I was like, that's nothing. You know, like that's nothing. And at the time, Apopka was making maybe like 1500 a month. Like a month, like, I mean, less than 1500, because I think it's like every 2 weeks, 750. Yeah, about 1500 a month, right? One job, 1500 every month, right? And like my income now, right, shot up, like, which like this year probably hit maybe a quarter million a year, you know,
Yeah,
like pushing for half
beautiful.
a million, you know, pushing for like half a million, like trying, not trying to, but like I believe, like, you know, we're trying to push for half a million. But I mean, even though with all that, but I always revert back to that decision that I made with them. Like if I never made that decision with them, I know that like I wouldn't be where I'm at now, right? Because any
100%.
decision now after that is just like, okay, like it's 25K, 30K, okay, 50K, okay, how do I make that happen? I was just on a call with ClickFunnels, right, with them about the Inner Circle program, right? 25K for the whole year. Okay, I was on the phone. I was like, okay, how do I make that happen? Me and Ben were talking. I was like, how do I make that happen? Ben was like, I think he probably put himself on mute, but he was just like, and he came back on. He's like, man, I love what you just said. Like, how do I make that happen? And I'm over here, okay, I can do this. I can pool. I have a life insurance policy. I'm thinking about like everything in my head. Okay, how do I pay this 25, 25, 25, you know? And I found, okay, cool, this is how I'm gonna pay for it. Made
100%.
it, you know what I mean? And now, I think two, well, I probably got another 2 more months and I'll have the money. I'll make that happen and, you know, make that decision of joining their program, you know, like,
100%.
but yeah,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, and you know what, man? Like, if I'm sure, right? Well, let me ask you the question, right? Like, if you could give yourself this resourcefulness that you have now, 10 years ago, what would your life look like now?
Oh, man. Shoot, it would look completely different. I'm like,
It's like almost a little bit painful. You're like, fuck. But that's the thing, you know, is like, this is why this is so important, and you know why I think like you and you know the people listening to this podcast can hear, you know, my conviction and why it matters so much to me is because, you know, I know what it's like to be, I know what it's like to live on the streets. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be in those situations. I've experienced it. I know what it's like to have feel like you have no future, to believe that you have no future. And I've also seen in my life and other people's lives what happens when we start moving into different identities and start taking the actions and the strategies and becoming that person. And I see it every single day in conversations with people is when they make those moves and they change their life and they step into being a more resourceful person. It's not about that one thing, man. It's about their entire life that comes after that moment. And that's a power that we need to wield very carefully. And in fact, you know, I won't teach people how to do this kind of stuff because I do coach it. I won't teach people how to do it if I feel like they're unethical. If they're just a shark man, I will not teach it. I'm like Uncle Ben from Spider-Man, except like Spider-Man is kind of like he's actually the jock at the beginning that's beating people up. I'd be like, hell no, dude. I'm not gonna tell you. You know, because it's too powerful, man. It's too powerful. Like it becomes when you learn how to do this stuff, both like before a sales call, but also on a sales call, it really is important for people to be ethical because you can lock people in to doing things that, listen, you know, sometimes they shouldn't do, and you need to know when to say like, yeah, this isn't right for you, or I don't know if this is aligned, and not everybody has, you know, that ethical code to do the best thing for people around them as well as themselves. So, powerful stuff.
No doubt, no doubt. I'm gonna have to bring you back on so we can talk about the PR stuff. You know what I mean? Really dive into that. Because I not that it's not gonna take that long, but I think this is so important because this is the real meat and potatoes of what really happens at, as they say, like the cellular level within you. You know, that helps you get to the higher level on the outside, right? And oh man, if I could package this up and like help every man before they ever meet me or ever talk to me, help them feel the most resourceful in the darkest hour, right? And then like help them along the way, right? Build that momentum, learn how to turn on that fire, learn how to shift identity, and really just and then after that, like take that what should be take what they would think would take years and eclipse it into like months or days. Right. And then they could shift the identity completely. Like, man, I think that I don't think I believe that's what every man truly needs, you know, that's coming my
100%.
way, you know, and that's why even, you know, I hope and I pray for, you know, that every man that comes my way, like the results that they get, like years, it's like light years. They're just like, oh my God. And everybody around them is like, yo, how do I get that? You know, like, yo, Jimmy, yo, did you see Jake, who Jake was? Do you see him now? Like, yeah, how did Jake do that? Jake, how did you do that? I want to do that too. You know? And whether Jake is like, and whether, you know, not say Jake, you, but like whether Jimmy or John or, you know, anybody refers them to me, I'm like, I don't care. But because now you're empowered and you can do that, I hope you as a 1% man, wherever you are, now you're that leader of that community. And now you can shift those people around you and be like, nah. Then like, now that positive peer pressure, right, is where like you're influencing everybody just by the way you're living, and people look at you and they're like, I want to live like that guy,
100%,
you know?
100%, man. And you know this is one of the keys. You know, I guess we'll go into kind of a, you know, the bonus round here. We're going to overtime here, but you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, man, you know, what's really key is all of this is actually fundamental to leadership and really being able to shift identities and other people and beliefs and you know, to do it inside of your business requires leadership. And there's different levels of leadership. And the first level of leadership, guess what it is? It's leadership of self. It's leading yourself. You need to be able to work with your own beliefs and identity and change your actions, right? And it's great if you have somebody that can help facilitate that process, but we need to start changing the actions that we take, right? And that might be the way that we buy, right? You've heard the expression, you know, like if you're in sales, they say like, you know, the way that you buy is the way that your prospects are going to buy, which is basically like saying, like, if you tell other salespeople, yeah, I need to think about it. You know, when you talk to my wife, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get that exact problem. And it happens, man. Like data has shown salespeople get the exact excuses that they themselves give to other salespeople. So we need to learn how to lead ourselves into being a 1% man before we actually lead somebody else to being a 1% man. And we can never tell somebody to be it, because people brains resist anything that is perceived as an external influence. This is called the perception threshold. You cannot influence somebody if it's ever perceived. And the best way to do it, like in your life, is to be the example. Don't tell people what to do. Don't even talk about it. Let people watch. And when people watch, they're going to be pulled in. They're going to say, how did you do this thing? I've been watching you. You're like, listen, man, the proof is in the pudding. And you know, if you want to walk this road, this is what it looks like. That's when change happens. But we can't force change. We can't. You know, if you're influential, if you know how to use persuasion, influence, identity, all this kind of stuff, we can co-write and co-facilitate this kind of stuff with people. But at first, the first fundamental level has to start with self, always. You need to lead yourself.
Yeah. You know, I want to get a little more personal for with you before we exit here. Is, you know, mental health is a huge thing nowadays, right? Like male depression, male suicide is huge, skyrocketing. But for yourself, you know, Jake, how do you keep yourself? Like, what do you do for your mental health to clear your mind and to keep yourself grounded and moving forward every single day, even in the midst of like whatever may be going on, you know, in life, family, you know, personal as well?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. You know, so for me, you know, this is podcast part number three, you know, but, you know, I have struggled with mental health a lot of my life. And one of the biggest changes that happened for me was actually, you know, sitting with ayahuasca and really changed a lot of things for me, as well as incorporating holotropic breathwork. I coach holotropic breathwork on the side. It's purely a way to give back to the community because it changed my life. So those are two ways. And, you know, from the breath, which also is a way to control your physiological state, you can control a lot of stress. But, you know, beyond that kind of stuff on the day-to-day basis, man, one, gratitude. Gratitude is so important. Always find something to be grateful for. Number two is discipline. Freedom is found in actually discipline. And when you're disciplined and you have purpose, that's when a man truly feels empowered. And perhaps if you don't feel like you're headed in the right direction, if one is feeling lost, perhaps it's a lack of purpose, a lack of direction. So commit yourself to a way of being. Commit yourself to a certain standard of life. And that's in your finances, in your relationships, in the way that you show up, whether you're a garbage man, salesperson, you're the president, you commit to a standard of being. And it gives your brain like these targets to hit every single day. Even if you don't wake up tomorrow and you're a billionaire, you can still wake up and say, I'm a good man. And I think that creates a sense of peace, at least in my life.
Man, I'm stuck on what you said about gratitude. Discipline brings freedom. And I appreciate you really being honest and sharing that, you know, you struggled with mental health. I love that, because on the outside, you know, man, good looking dude, you know what I mean? Beard cut up, hair dashing, you know what I mean? Amazing smile. So like no one can actually see that, you know what I mean? Like those mental health scars that you have internally. but for you to say it and for you to, you know, express it, man, I really appreciate that, because that's something that we as men don't really talk about a lot of. And I, like I said, I really do appreciate you saying that. You know, that's something that I struggle with as well. So that's why. But the gratitude and the discipline, huge. Yeah. The breath work too. I need a. I'm definitely gonna. I want to learn more about that breath work too, as well, and why, and you know how you do it, and why it's important. You know.
Yeah, you bet, man. Yeah, and if anybody in your community is like struggling, not only with just feeling like some mental health stuff, even going into feeling maybe depressed, or anxiety, or even as far as, you know, crazy, well, not crazy thoughts, but thoughts that are, you know, feeling very heavy, maybe even not wanting to be here anymore. You're not alone. And I've experienced those, and there's no shame in speaking up about this kind of stuff. And if you ask for help as a man, it's not the most common thing, but please do, because so many of us have not made it because we didn't speak up. And I've lost friends that way. I was in a way lucky, or shall we say, like I made it through, but you know, I'd hate to see anybody in this community not. Please speak up. You're way worth it.
Yes. Yes, you are worth it. You definitely are. Man, Jake, I appreciate you so much. Like from the bottom of my heart, man, love you so much, what you shared today. But I have to ask just one more question before we go. And I ask every guest is, you know, before we go, I want you to have the last word, which just means like, I want you to share, maybe that is, I know you already shared a lot, you know, a whole bunch, but what is something that, you know, you want us to take away, before we stop the podcast, you know, we end this episode, what is something that you want us to take with us on the journey of life? You know, that may be a lesson, maybe a value, maybe something that you carry with you that you want us to, you know, share with us. So maybe, you know, while we're talking, you said, you know what, I want to expand on this more. I didn't get a chance to, you know, I want to give you the last word.
Can I share something that I've never shared before anywhere ever?
Ooh, yes. Yes, please.
Okay. You get the first rights here. Everything fell apart in my life not too long ago, and I lost two businesses. I lost somebody that I loved more than anything, more than myself. Actually, not a healthy type of situation, but you know, from the fire of the flames, great men are forged. We rise like Phoenix, the Phoenix. We rise like the Phoenix, reborn stronger, quicker, faster, and better, ready to serve. And for me, my guiding principle, the thing that I say to myself in my darkest moments is three words. And it's simply to leave no doubt. Leave no doubt to those that have left you. Leave no doubt to those that believe in you. But most of all, leave no doubt to yourself, who you are.
Man, you had it here first. Your legacy starts today.